Begin the current daf, Masechtas Krisis daf Yedal. Begin on the bottom of Yud Gimel Beis, second line up from the bottom of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing a related theme from the previous Mishnah regarding when there's different prohibitions being combined regarding how many carbon chattas would a person be liable. So in related vein, says the Mishnah as follows. Yesh oichel achila achas, a person could eat one prohibited act of consumption, but yet in that one act of consumption, that one eating, there could be four liabilities of a karma chatas, as we're going to describe in the Mishnah, where he's going to be violating eating kachem in the state of impurity. One is because it's forbidden fats, one is it's also nice, it's leftover from a carbon, and one is because it's actually Yom Kippur. And additionally, for Asham Echad, he could also be liable for one carbon Asham, Asham Me'ilis, which is misappropriation by consuming that which is Hektish. As the Mishnah describes, if he's Tamei Sha'achel Chaylev, he's Tamei, that's eating forbidden fats, V'hayonaisim in the Magdashin, and it's leftover from Hektish. So as we described, you have all these different problems. He's eating kachem in a state of impurity, it's forbidden fats, it's leftover from a carbon, and it's B'yemi Kippurim. So that's four carbon chatas, Naladir Yom Kippur. And additionally, there's that carbon oshem from Me'ilah. Now, Rameyah, he adds on one more. He says, if it was Shabbos and he took it out, as the Girsa adds on the word Befiv, in his mouth, so as he's eating, he's also walking out in Rosh Hashanah, so Chayiv, that's going to be another liability for Hitzah, for carrying out on Shabbos. Amrulay, they said to him, no, that's not from the designation of this one act of eating, because the liability is not because of the eating. Yeah, it happens to be in the act of that what you're eating, you're carrying through the medium of the mouth, but that's not because of eating, that's because of carrying, which is not necessarily due to the act of eating, and therefore, they say that wouldn't be included in what we're trying to say over here, that with one act of an action, that of eating, would be liable for all these different karma chattas. As a continuing type of Yudal Manav, the Gemara asks, Neima Isle L'Remeir, shall we say the Remeir who... He, not only does he hold of what the Tanakhama says, but he even added on one more, that of Shabbos, that he holds Issachal Alisser, that a prohibition could take effect on another prohibition, which is, here you have something that's prohibited, you're adding, you're piling on all these different Isurim. Does he hold Issachal Alisser? Says Gemara, no, not necessarily. Nihid the Isser, because although in a general prohibition, Chal Alisser for it to take effect on another prohibition, meaning something that's already forbidden. And then to say, okay, now there's another reason why it should be forbidden, that less late, that it doesn't hold. So, for example, if let's say someone eats the nevela, the dead animal carcass of a non-kosher animal, it's not going to be liable because of nevela, because it was already prohibited because not kosher. Now that it died, there's not an additional isser of nevela. Now that's a generic isser, which doesn't have the two ingredients that we're going to say that Remeir holds is different of what's called isser kaitel or isser meisif. There's nothing being added on, there's nothing more inclusive up here. So there's another isser that can take effect. That, you're right, he wouldn't hold that there's going to be an isser nevela. You violated this of Temeah, of non-kosher animal, but you don't get the violation for that of Nevela. But Isser Kailul v'Isser Meisiv Isle. But it's not just a regular Isser Chalal Isser. You're right, something prohibited, you can't make it prohibited for something else. But if it's more inclusive, called Kailul, or if it's Meisiv, it's adding something on that wasn't previously prohibited, that Isle, that he would hold, that could take effect. As the Gemara explains, that's all the different violations that we have in Halacha v'Mishnah. Tar Mikar. A person that originally was pure. The only thing that is prohibited to eat over here, which this thing that we're describing here has all these elements, but the first thing that you start off with, this piece of chalev from this carbon, this prohibited piece of fats, which in every animal is those chalev, that was the only thing he was prohibited in. And he was permitted to partake of kachin. But havali, tamei, when he becomes tamei, so migu de asa bechatichas tyrus, once he becomes prohibited, in even the all the other kosher pieces that are permitted to be eaten, that are tahar, once he becomes forbidden in that, because he's tummy, a tummy kohen cannot eat the other parts of kachem that are tahar, see, taisiv beinami isura ilo vechalav. So now it gets added on, an addition on the isra of the chalav, because the fact that he's tummy, which that's called isra kail. It's more inclusive, meaning to say, there's really no additional thing that was previously prohibited with this chalev, which he wasn't allowed to eat it because it's chalev. Now, he still can only not eat it, which, you can't eat it now because your tummy and it's kachem, but you're not really adding on any isser into the what's called the chetz, the object, the prohibited item. But the reason why we're adding on the isser of tumma in regards to the kachem of the chalev is because the person had an isser that was added on to him in regards to other things, which is regards to the rest of the animal, which he was permitted to eat. So inclusively, since it's including the whole animal, part of the animal is the chalev. So that's what's called Isser Kail. So that will add on the Isser. Because although for the chilv itself, you wouldn't just add on another Isser. But once it's part of the whole animal, which is now for initially becoming prohibited, that will include the Isser Chilv. So then the case goes on. Now, additionally, v'chilv mi'kar la'asa ela b'chilv. Initially, those prohibited fats, the only thing it's prohibited to this person for is to consume. You can't eat chilv. But you're permitted to have benefit from it. Now, but once it becomes sanctified as a carbon, this animal, this cow, this lamb, whatever it is, there's certain parts of it that are forbidden to be eaten. That's chilv. Then you makdash it as a carbon. So migdi taisa be'isur dahana, but now that it's taking effect on this whole animal, including the chayav, on all of the animal, a prohibition of having benefit from it, because it's hektish. Now that's what's called the isur meisiv. Something is being added on to this chafza, to this object, this prohibited item that wasn't previously forbidden, which is isur hana. It was only isur to be eaten up until, and now you can't have benefit. So he taisiv by, and the gear says, nami legabe chayav. So that isur is added on to the prohibited fats too. Where you have now the isur of hektish taking effect on the piece of chilev itself. Now, but it continues. Vakati lehedir hu asur. Now, up until now, this carbon, this animal, this chilev was only forbidden for a commoner to have benefit to eat and all those different. That was hu asur of like gavaya shari. But for Hashem, it was permitted. Actually, the chilev we're discussing is actually one of the sacrificial parts. Actually, is sacrificed for Hashem. So for Hashem, it was permitted. But havalei nicer, but once it's left over its designated time, which that's what's called the isur meisiv, there's something here that's being added on to this chaylev itself. Because migadi taisiv isur ligabe gevaya, now that there's adding on an isur, yeah, this chaylev, something more is being prohibited to it, which up until now is permitted for Hashem, now it's even forbidden because it's nicer for Hashem. So taisiv by ligabe hedya, so that isur is also being added on of nicer to the commoner itself, which is essentially that was always forbidden to be eaten. But there's something being added onto the Chefza that wasn't prohibited up until now regarding Hashem. So then once it's added onto the Chefza, that's also now forbidden for the person also. You have that Isra of Noisa too. And additionally, Chala Yom Kippurim, if it's taking effect by, and it's on Yom Kippur, which that's the Isra Kail, it's inclusive because for the person himself, not the object, the person, up until now he's permitted to partake of all other kosher food and drink. So, but now migadi taseh ba'isul gabi chulma, now that he's prohibited to partake of other unconsecrated foods, it taseh ba'ligabi gavaya. So that is also now taking effect regarding something of hektish, which, yeah, was usher anyways up until now for him, but now it's included in the isul kim purim, because it's a kail, it's included all food and drink that's prohibited for him, and therefore it says the Gemara, we could even say generally Meir holds that, no, ain isul chalal isur, but isul kail, isul meisiv is different because something new is being introduced that is taking effect somewhere where there was no Isser, either in the Gavra, in the person, what we call Isser Kail, or in the Chetz, in the object, in the prohibited item itself, which we call Isser Maisa. So the Gemara asks, but v'nisni hechatois, why does the Mishnah say that there's only four Karban Chatas and one Ashem? We can actually describe a case that there's five Karban Chatas in the one act of consumption. Why? V'nukma kugun da'ochel kezayis pigel. Why can't you describe that additionally this thing that we're describing, that it was hektish, and it was nicer. Why can't we say that also that the king, when he did the avoid, had a machshava of pigol that should be eaten beyond its designated time, which that makes a prohibition in this animal of pigol in this piece of chaylev. So that should be a fifth violation and was one act of consumption. Says Gemara, no, because b'chad behemikamari. Our mission was discussing the when you're eating this one act of consumption for all these karban chatas that is coming from one animal. B'shtei behemis lekamari wasn't talking about when it's from two different animals. And the nicer of pigol b'chad behemol lemishkacha, so you can't have what we already described of having an isra of nicer of being left over at designated time with the isra of pigol in one animal, because the halach of pigol that invalidates a carbon is only if it was done during the four different acts of service of the blood. Shchita kabbalah halacha zrika. Now, if pigol would take effect, then the whole carbon is not fit, not for a person to eat it, not for the mizbeach to eat it, and therefore the Isser Nicer wouldn't take effect. Nicer is when you have a kosher carbon, and it's supposed to be eaten or be sacrificed, and it was left over at a designated time, then it becomes nicer. But that's only if it was viable in the first place. Pigle would make it non-viable, so you can't add on the Isser Pigle if you're saying that it has a case of nicer. Rosh Hashanah says, Alam Alay, why not? Mishkachas lo, you could have it in one animal. Kugayin Shehela, Aver Pigle Gamizbech. Yeah, you made the whole animal pigle. So how are you going to have nicer? As follows. You take one of the limbs that was from a carbon that had pigul, and you put it on the altar, on the mizbech. The paka pigul emine, that actually removes the ister pigul from that limb, because it becomes sanctified by being utilized in the service of the Mizbech. And since it removes the pickle, so then it becomes eligible. And then v'havalei nicer, then it can be left up at a designated time and become nicer. And this is all in the same animal. Because Amar Ula, like we find the Ula says, he says, Kaimitz pigle. If you take a fistful of something that's already pigle, shehel gam mizbech, but you put on the altar, paka pigulim imen, and it removes the pigle from it. As the Gemara explains the reasoning of Ula, Masech Tzvach, and Nefem Gimel Medalf. So, but one thing is that v'havalei nicer could become nicer, and it's going to be in the same animal. Why don't you add another karmachatas? Says the Gemara, no. You're right, it could be in one animal. But be'ever echad kamari, our Mishnah was talking about to have all these carbon chatas and one act of consumption of one limb. V'shnei evam l'kamari, they weren't talking about two different limbs. The nicer pickle, b'chad evo l'mishkach, so you can't have nicer pickle in the same limb. Because, manavshach, if you made a pickle, so how can it become nicer? By putting the limb on the mizbech, well then it's totally nicer, it's not pickle. Says the Gemara, alam alai, why not? B'shkach, so you could find you put a limb of pigle, meaning from this whole animal was pigle, you put one of the limbs on the mizbech. But the palgi anchega mizbech, half of it was put onto the mizbech, or palgi mavrad mizbech, half of it was hanging over to the outside of the mizbech. Dahud mizbech, paka pigle. The half that's on the mizbech, the pigle is removed. Vavali nicer, and that can become nicer. Like Ula said, kremitz pigle chela mizbech, paka pigle, and vavali nicer. And the half that's on the outside wasn't removed, and that's going to be pigle. So you could have one aver and have five karbon chadis, not just four, because you could have pigle and nicer. So Amalei said to him, Loi, no, that's not possible the way you're describing. Because you wouldn't say that, okay, the half that's on and half that's off, one is pigle, one is nicer. No. Iruba de mizbeach, if the majority is on the altar, then Shadi, then we would place the consider the whole limb, the mizbech, as if it was on the mizbech, and then all of it would be nicer. Rubi divrei, if the majority is on the outside of the mizbech, then Shadi librei, we would place it to the outside, and therefore, we wouldn't say half and half. We would go based on the majority, and therefore, again, it's going to be either nicer or pigle, so you can't have the way you're asking, they should have nicer and pigle. However, on this response of the Gemara asks, if that's the case, the way you just described it, then Tifshid the Bayi Rama Bar Chama, then this should resolve the question that Rama Bar Chama had asked the Masech Tzchul Naf A Daf Ayinam Ad Aleph. He asked this question. He said, Holchu Beivarm Acha Roi V'Loi, do we go with the limbs based on majority or not? Well, you're describing, say, that we do go. And you're saying through either on or off will tell us neither nicer pigle, but then why didn't you answer Rama Bar Chama's question? So Ella says, the Gemara, you're right. No, not only is not talking about one animal, not only is not talking about one limb, Ella rather because Zayasach. The Halach of the Mishnah was talking about to have all these Isurim in the Chalev that was because Zayasach in one olive sized piece of food. That's what the Mishnah was describing. B'shnei Zayasim like Kamayri wasn't talking about two olive sizes. And one olive sized piece is not possible to have Nisr and Pigel. Because again, then was that Zayas on the Mizbech? Was it off the Mizbech? That wouldn't be able to differentiate, and therefore it could only be four Karmel Chatzis. Says the Gemara, V'loi? Well, we're not talking about two olive-sized pieces in the case of our Mishnah, but Vaikutani Yom Kippurim, one of the Isuri Chatas was that it's because he's eating on Yom Kippur. Ubi Yom Kippurim Kesevis de Mechayev, what's the liability of eating on Yom Kippurim? It's the measurement of a Kesevis, the volume of a date. The Kesevis is Peshnei Zaysim, and the date has a measurement of two olive sizes, which that could be considered one act of consumption, because that's how much a throat could contain in one shot, is two olive-sized pieces. But one thing we see that actually we are talking about Shnei Zaysim, and not one. So then why can't you say pigle and nicer? One zayis pigle, one zayis nicer. So Rabbi Zeri says, no, because kugan sh'achal kul yibachelba. What we're talking about regarding the liability of Kippurim in the case of a Mishnah, tomorrow, if someone ate the kidney of an animal with its fats. So regarding the prohibition, regarding eating the fats itself, that's where you're going to be getting the three carbon chatas and the one carbon ashram. Now, an additional, there's going to be the complementary consumption for Yom Kippurim of a kesevis, of a date, because you have the olive-sized piece of the kidney, which is completing the measurement of the kesevis. But that's why you're going to have Yom Kippurim, two olive-sized pieces. But it still addresses the Gemara's question, also, why don't we say pigle? No, because when we're talking about the chalev itself, that is what we're talking about, that we didn't want to have, that's going to be two olive-sized pieces. And that, we're only talking about one olive-sized piece. Yom Kippurim, yeah, because it's connected to the kidney, which is adding on another zayis piece, that's going to be Yom Kippurim. But for all those other isurim of chalev, that's in one olive-sized piece, and therefore that wouldn't be possible to pigle and nicer together. Now, if one would ask, then why can't you say then that the same question then, that an olive-sized piece of the kidney was on the mizbech, which that would make the chalev have been pigled, because that wasn't on the Mizbeach, but the kulya, the kidney, was on the Mizbeach, and that would make it into nicer. So then we're back to the question, why couldn't we have added on pigle? So that's what Rashi says, no, because then you wouldn't be able to have, we want to have that it's all one act of achila, which is a kezias. Then the iser nicer wouldn't be in the zayas of the chalev. We want to have that all iser in the one thing, and then you would be having nicer on the kidney, not on the chalev. Therefore, the Gemara says that we didn't say the case of pigle. But Papa Amar, he says a similar type of answer. He says the reason why we didn't say pigle is, like we said, because we're not talking about two olive-sized pieces of chalev. But then the question is, okay, what's with kiseva? So how are you liable for Yom Kippurim, which is two olive-sized pieces, that's the volume of a date? It's kugun namalia betamer. It's when he supplements it with dates, and therefore that completes it to the share of kiseves. But therefore that's why, again, it's a similar type of an answer we were talking about regarding the primary iser. We're discussing that you're adding on the iserim for one act of eating. That's going to be in one thing, in one olive-sized piece. So again, it can be nicer and pigle at the same time. And Yom Kippurim, yeah, that he supplemented. Therefore, that's going to be one throat at one time. But that's only to add on for the Issa of Kippurim, but we're not describing that in the Issa of Pigle, adding on to that of what's already has the Issa of Nais. Now, Rav Ada bar Acha Masdi, he actually learns the Halacha of our Mishnah, which addresses all the questions we had been asking up until now. He says, Hey Chatois, he actually learned it, not as we said in our Mishnah, that it was four Karmachatas, that for one act of Ketzab, you actually can bring five Karmachatas. And he explains, how are you getting five? Because he says that, yeah, it's from two different animals, and there is the Isra of Pigle too, because you could have two Zaysim in your throat at one time. And Beloy Mishani, Kanishinu, the Kamashinu, he doesn't give all the answers that we gave that, oh, we're not talking about two animals, not talking about two limbs, we're not talking about two Kazaysim. No, you could have one act of consumption to have Isra of Pigle, Isra of Nisra at the same time. Now, says the Gemara, then Minisni Shesh Chatos. Then why didn't they say that you could have six Karban Chatos? And the Gersa adds in the word Nami Kazaysim. So, okay, so in that same act of consumption, he could have had an olive size of blood, which is also prohibited. Why didn't say six karbachatas? Says the Gemara, no, b'chada achila kamayri. In one act of consumption, that's obvious that we're talking about yesh oichel achila achas. That we're talking about one act of consumption. B'shtei achilas lekamayri is not talking about two acts of consumption. B'shir chacham, the chacham evaluated, de'im b'esa b'li amach z'geisim, m'shnei z'esim, a person's throat to be one act of consumption, swallowing down the throat at one time, cannot hold more than two olive-sized pieces. So yes, in one olive-sized piece, you could have all those isurim of tamei that's eating chaylev, which is from Mugdashin, and then the other olive-sized piece will also be for the shear of Yom Kippurim, and also for that of pigle. But you can't add on another olive-sized piece, because that can't be one act of consumption to be liable for a kezayis of dam. Now the Gemara continues with the halacha of our Mishnah that Remeyo Emer v'chulu, he added on, says he actually could be chayv for another karban chatas if it's Shabbos, and as he's eating, he's walking out into the street. That's the Issur Veitzah, one of the Lamed Tes Malachas. Now, says the Gemara, V'nisni, the words he said should have just said, Im hoitzi uchayiv. If he took it out, he's going to be liable because it's Yom Kippur. My Tani Kitani, why does he say, Im hoitzi Shabbos? If we're Shabbos, oh, then it's also, you're going to be chayiv for Veitzah. So Amarafmi says, Zaysimes, this tells us that Erev Veitzah le Shabbos, the laws of Erevin, the laws of carrying out in Bishus Rabbim, it applies to Shabbos. But there's no halach of Erev and Hitzah for Yom Kippurim, that there's actually no prohibition about Hitzah on Yom Kippurim. Says Gemara, where do you know that from? Dilma yesh Erev Hitzah Yom Kippurim. Maybe no, there is a problem of Hitzah on Yom Kippurim. But Vahachikitan, this is what it's saying. If it was Shabbos and he was carrying it out, chayv af mishum Shabbos Yom Kippurim. They're reliable not only for Yom Kippurim, but also because it's Shabbos. How do you know it only applies to Shabbos? Maybe it's just adding on that you'll have the additional problem about Shabbos. So Eliyitma the Rafram rather says the Gemara, if you want to say the halach of Rafram, where he proved this conclusion was al halada itma. It was actually said in the following brisa. Time like learn the brisa. Pas says Vayikra regarding the Sarla Zazel, which was in the two he goats that was born in Bikipurim. One was sacrificed inside the Beis Hamikdash, one was thrown off the cliff called Azazel. So the Pas says Vashilach be'at ish iti, it should be sent with a man that was prepared. Says the brisa, what does it mean ish? A man is lahakshar esazar. That comes to permit even a non-kohen is allowed to do that agency. When it says iti, designated time, which afilu b'tuma, that he does it on Yom Kippurim, this person, even in the state of impurity, afilu b'Shabbos, even b'Shabbos. And iti, designated, means to be mezuma, that he's already prepared, meaning you should prepare this man from beforehand to be the one to take the sar la'azazel. Now, one thing says the Gemara is Ketani, but we learned in the Brisa it says Iti Afilu B'Shabbos, that it's done even if it's Shabbos. So Amar Rafmi says this comes to tell us from the fact that it says even on Shabbos is this person allowed to go out of the Beis Hamikdash and bring this all the way to the cliff far away, that Erev Haitzah L'Shabbos, that generally Haitzah and Erev is necessary for Shabbos. Vein Erev Haitzah Yom Kippurim, but that's not a problem on Yom Kippurim. Because if there was an Issa of Haitzah on Yom Kippurim, so why do you have to come to include a special Gzeis HaKasav to say even if it's Shabbos? What do you mean? It overrides Yom Kippurim, so of course it would override Shabbos. Obviously there's no problem Haitzah on Yom Kippurim. Tosh Gemara rejects this too. No, Mimai, how do you know this? Maybe you wouldn't know for Yom Kippurim that it's permitted to say it's also permitted to be done on Shabbos. Why? Because on Yom Kippurim, Shani Sar Mishtalech, the Sar Mishtalech, the Higo that's sent away, the Hechsher B'Yom Kippurim B'Kach, that's the way that the mitzvah of Yom Kippurim is done, just like a carbon tumah, a sacrifice on Shabbos. We can not do those malachas on Shabbos, but that's the halacha that's necessary for the mitzvahs of the carbon of Shabbos, so you're allowed to do it. So you're also Yom Kippurim, of course you're allowed to send it away, because that's the mitzvah that's sent. But we wouldn't have known that if it falls on Shabbos, you're allowed to do it too, and therefore maybe that's why we have to include Shabbos, but maybe really there is a problem of it, so in general on Yom Kippurim too. So Ella rather says, Gemara, you're right, the Raf from Berusahi, the teaching of Rafam is on the outside, means to say that it's not correct to conclusively prove this halacha, that there is ein erev Haitzah on Yom Kippurim, that to the contrary, there is an issa Haitzah even on Yom Kippurim. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, where someone could do one act and be liable for many Yisurim at the same time. It says the Mishnah, Yesh bo bi'achas, a person can have one act of cohabitation, and they can be liable for six different carbon chatas at the same time. Ketzah haso. Habal bita, if someone has relations with his daughter, so chayvel emishim bita, he can be liable for the fact that it's his daughter. Va'achaysai, and the fact that she's his sister, because it could be that he had relations with his mother and gave birth to this daughter, so it's his daughter, but it's also his sister because they share the same mother. And also eishes achiv, can be his brother's wife, where she had been married to his brother beforehand, where his brother is allowed to marry his brother's daughter. Now, but then after his brother died, so then that woman went and married his father's brother. So then she became Eisha Sachi Aviv, his father's brother's wife, and then subsequently he died, and Eisha says she married another man, so she's a married woman, and Venida. And then this father went and had relations with his daughter, who's all these other things too, at a time when she's menstruating, which is another chiv of kars, which would be liable altogether for six karban chatzos for one act of cohabitation with this woman. Now, as we continue to Beis, the Gemara asks, wait a second, v'halesli remeir issachal alissa. Remeir, whose Stam Mishnah was saying that it's going like remeir, but he doesn't hold that something that's already prohibited, like here she's already his daughter, to take effect another prohibition on it, like we're saying all these six prohibitions, because as we said previously, we didn't want to say that, oh, how to explain the halacha of remeir in the previous Mishnah. We said, no, really, it doesn't hold this halacha, but it's a sekar lissa, a maisiv. So how do we explain this halacha of the Mishnah with all these yisurim on the same one woman? Says the Gemara, yeah, nehid issachal lissa lesla, you're right. Maybe he doesn't hold that a prohibition could take effect on on something that's already previously prohibited. But he holds that it could take effect if it's additional or it's inclusive. Kugain, for example, will explain that the case of our Mishnah could be Issa Maisif, Issa Kail. Kugain, for example, Shaba Alima Vahil Bas. So this man that we're talking about, he had relations with his mother and he gave birth to a daughter. So the Issa Bita Vachisi Bahadi Adadi Asi, which is an additional thing that he would agree to, that would take effect. It's not Issa Chal Issa, taking effect at the same time. At the same time that this person became forbidden to him, she's his daughter, and she's his sister, because they both happened at the same time when she was born, and also when she becomes the age of being forbidden to have relations. So those two are happening at the same time. That's not Issa Chal Issa. Now, in addition, Nisus La'achav, when she then gets married to his brother, so migidi taisif isser l'gabei achen, from the fact that now she becomes added isser in this chevtza, where because she's forbidden to his brothers because of eishes ach, so taisif isser l'gabei the day. So that adds on the isser also regarding him. That's what's called the isser meisif on the chevtza, on the woman. There's additional isserum that's happening to her. She's becoming forbidden to more things. So he's including that because he's also eishes ach. Now, then when nisis la'achi aviv, when subsequently she marries his father's brother, so there also, migidi taisav isur l'gabi shar achei aviv, since she becomes forbidden to the rest of his father's brothers, because one of their brothers married her, so now all the other brothers are forbidden. See, Taisav Legabi the day. So that also adds on the Isser regarding him, called the Isser Maisif. Now, actually, Rashi has a different Gersim, which actually addresses the question, because how could you call the Isser Maisif, the Isser for his father's brothers, is not the same Isser for him. Rather, Rashi's Gersim says, Migidi Taisav Isru Legabi Achiv. Since there's added Isserim regarding this man that we're talking about, his brothers, so therefore the Isser is added on to him, because for his brothers, once she marries his father's brothers, it becomes Asa because of Isha Sachia Av. There's an Isser of having relations with the father's brother's wife. And that's being Asa for his brothers, and that's also for him, Isha Sachia Av. Or another version Rashi has is that Migidi Tesi B'Sru Legabi B'nei Achi Aviv. That is add on the Isser for the sons of his father's brothers because of Ashes Av. So that's the Isser that's being added on to him. Then, how will Ashes is when she marries another man, then there's the Isser of being a married woman. So, Migadi tells you, Isser Gabi Alma. So that's the Isser that's being added on with this woman, Isser Maisiv, that she's forbidden to everybody as a married woman. So, he tells him, Gabi Day. So that's the Isser that's added on to him, obviously, because he's also forbidden to this woman for additional reason, which is added on to her of Ashes Ish. And how will he need that? And then when she's menstruating, Migidi Taysav Isla Gabi Bala, that's being added on that she's even also to her husband, that's called Isla Maisav, so he Taysav Namli Gabi Day, so that's also add on the Isra to him. And therefore, we could have these six Isra Chatois, not a contradiction, even if you hold Ein Yisachal Isra, because of either Isra Bevas Achas or as a Isra Maisav. Similarly, continues the next Mishnah. You could have a case, Habal Bas Bita, if someone has relations with his daughter's daughter, his granddaughter, his daughter's daughter, is Chayvalek liable for the following Isra? Mishum Bas Bita, because it's his daughter's daughter, which the Torah says is forbidden. Vikalosai, it's also his daughter-in-law, which is Isser Maisiv, because she married his son, meaning his son married his niece, which is permitted, it's considered a marriage, he's allowed to marry his sister's daughter, but now additionally, besides being his granddaughter, it's also his daughter-in-law. The Gersa adds on over here the words Vachis Ishtai, and it also could be his wife's sister, which this is going to be a case of Isser Kail. Which again, this man that we're discussing over here, this Avarian, this man who did the prohibited act of cohabitation, he was married to his son-in-law's daughter, which is also the sister of his granddaughter paternally, where they share the same father. For example, where this son-in-law had a daughter from a different woman, not from his own daughter, but from a different woman that he was married to. Now, then this father, who's the father-in-law of his daughter's husband, when he subsequently goes and has relations on the daughter of his son-in-law, which is his granddaughter, it's also his wife's sister, because his son-in-law had a different daughter who he married, which was permitted, but now it makes his granddaughter, who's his daughter's husband's daughter, is going to be his wife's sister, and therefore this granddaughter has the additional Isser about being Achay's Ishtar. Additionally, the Eishas Achav, this woman could also be forbidden to him by being his brother's wife, where if, let's say, his son died, then his brother went and married this granddaughter of his. And it could also be Asr because of the Eishas Achi Aviv, of his father's brother's wife, where if, let's say, subsequently after his son died, and then his brother married her, then his brother died, and then his father's brother married her, and then, subsequently, Ve'eshas Ish, she could then be a married woman, and Venita, she could be a menstruating woman. So all those Yisurim could be in this one act of cohabitation with his granddaughter. Now, Rabbi Yisi, I mean, he adds on that actually could add on another Isser. He says, Im Avar Zakan, if the elderly man, if he violates, meaning, we're talking about this person the whole time, if his father goes, Venasa, and marries his great-granddaughter, which this man that we're discussing was always his granddaughter, now his father marries that woman, and then afterwards his son, this man that we're talking about, goes and cohabits with his granddaughter, Chayvula, then there's going to be another liability, Mishum Eishasav, because it's his father's wife. And says the Mishnah, regarding all the cases that we just described that could be with the granddaughter, V'chinat Baal Bas Ishtai, same thing would apply to regarding his wife's daughter, where he'd be liable because it's his Bas Ishtai, it could also be his daughter-in-law, could be his brother's wife, and so on, all the Isurim that we said. So it could be by the case that we opened up with granddaughter, it could also be with his wife's daughter, and Valbas Bita, and also regarding if it's his wife's daughter's daughter, we could also have all these liabilities we described in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara asks, Katani, we learned in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yisi added on, he said, Besides all that we said regarding the bas bitoy and being kalosoy and being achos ishtoy and eishes achiv and eishes achi aviv and eishes ish and neither seven different, he had on the eighth one. He said, yeah, you could also have if his father subsequently marries his granddaughter, which is a great granddaughter, it's going to be the issa of eishes av. Says Gemara, mishar yilei, is it permitted for the great grandfather, for this person's father, to go ahead and marry that woman? But it's eishes achiv. It was his brother's wife. Because one of the cases we describe was for his son, the man that we're discussing all the time, that, oh, one of these terms is Eishes Achi Aviv, the wife of his father's brother. So obviously it's forbidden to his father to marry this woman because it's Eishes Ach, it's his brother's wife. And when it's prohibited, that means say there's no Eishes, marriage doesn't take effect. So why is Rabbi Yossi saying, oh, you're going to be liable also as Eishes Av? Well, there's no Eishes Av. His father had relations maybe with this woman that doesn't make her forbidden, doesn't make her Eishes Av. How are you adding on the Issa of Eishes Av? So Mabichanai says, yeah, could be it was his father's brother's wife, and it could still subsequently be his father's wife. How so? Mean to say, he went and did Yibum, which is that this, his father's brother died without any children, and now this woman, which is his granddaughter, his father is going to do Yibum to her, and therefore it could be Eshazaf. So Yirach, he says the Gemara, then my other. Then why did we describe in the Mishnah, we said, if Aver Zaken, if the great-grandfather violates and marries her, then it can be Eishes Av. What do we mean? He did very well. It's not forbidden to him as any Issa Erva. To the contrary, he's doing a mitzvah of Yibam. Now, if you're going to say, what do you mean? It actually is prohibited for a different reason, because it's actually Kalosa. It's actually his daughter-in-law. Because we said one of the liabilities we said for the previous guy that we're talking about all along, that for his son, which was because Eishes Ach. She married his brother, which makes it the father's son's wife, which is his daughter-in-law. So that actually, for a different reason, actually should make it an erva. Says Gemara, no, that's not. Says Rashi, actually, it's not a difficulty because you could explain the case talking about when it said that his brother, the man that we're talking about all along, that it was his wife. That wasn't paternally; it was maternally. They had the same mother, and it's not the daughter-in-law of the father because it's rather the wife of his stepson, which is actually permitted to him. So therefore, that wouldn't be a problem. So says the Gemara, why are we saying Avar? There was no violation. So Rabbi Yaakov, yeah, because Sh'avim Mishum Kalas Benoi, he did violate the fact that it is his son's daughter-in-law, which is a Shnia. It's what's called a secondary erva, which is rabbinically prohibited. Because we said one of the liabilities for his son was because Kalase, that makes it his son's daughter-in-law. And says Rashi, the Gemara could have also answered and said that the liability is because it's his son's daughter's daughter, which is also a Shnia, but they picked one of the two. So therefore, it's Avar, but it's going to be a marriage, because biblically it's a marriage, only rabbinic violation. Kind of like learn the Braisa. Kalase, one's daughter-in-law, is an Erev, is a biblical Isser of relations. Kalas Benai, his son's daughter-in-law, is a Shnia, is a secondary Erev. And the Chenat Amaitse Soto, you find as the Gersa is, Beben Benai, by his son's son's daughter-in-law. And the Gersa is, Ubeben ben benai, and the son's 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 daughter-in-law. It means, say, Atsev Kaladar is all future generations going down by son after son after son. When any one of them has a daughter-in-law, that's going to be a rabbinic erva for the father, great grandfather, going all the way up and up and up. So therefore, it's considered avar, but it's going to be considered a biblical marriage to say that there's an added issa of Eshesav. But the Gemara now asks, as we were asking before regarding Reb Meir, so Rabbi Yossi is obviously agreeing to everything the Mishnah said, and even more, he's even adding on more Isurim. Does he hold to the concept that an Isur could take effect on something that's already previously ushered to say that you're going to be chai for all these Karban Chatas? But what's not, we learn the Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin that says, Ava Averish Yeshba Shtei Mises, if someone violates an Isur that has two death penalties related to it because she's his mother-in-law and she's also a married woman, which each one of those is a separate Isur. So says the Tanakhama, Nidin Bechamur, so he gets the more severe penalty because but regarding these two Isurim, there's a death penalty of Sreifa and Chemek, and Sreifa being burnt is more severe than strangulation. So he gets the Isur, he gets the punishment of Sreifa. That's not the Kamer. B'Yisham, he says, no, Nidin Bezikar Yishon Shebalov. He gets judged regarding the first thing that was the prohibition first, and not in the subsequently, not the subsequent Isur that took effect afterwards, because of Enes Achalisur. Even if the next thing might be more stringent, but it's already prohibited, you can't now make it prohibited for something else. B'tani will learn the Braisa, case on Rabbi Yossi. How do Rabbi Yossi say this halacha of Nidim Mizik Rishonim that you get judged by the first thing that was prohibited for the person? So as follows. If she was first his mother-in-law, but at that time when he married her daughter, she wasn't married, so she was just forbidden because of his mother-in-law. And then Manasseh Ishes didn't see subsequently got married, so he's going to get judged and punished because of the first Ishes that he had with her, which was his mother-in-law. Ishes Manasseh Chamaiseh, if let's say she was first a married woman, like a regular woman, and then subsequently he then married her daughter, which now she became his mother-in-law, and then if he has relations with her, he's going to get the first punishment, that of what the first thing she was asked to him for, which was every man besides her husband, was because she's a married woman. So one thing you see, that Rabbi Yisrael does not hold of Issa Chalal Issa, how do we explain his halacha in our Mishnah? So Rabbi Bo, he says, Rabbi Yisrael agrees in halacha in Mishnah, because there's Be'isra Maisav, that it's regarding, he agrees that Issa could take effect if it's adding on something that wasn't previously prohibited, not just adding on another thing that, another reason why what's already prohibited would be prohibited. No, it's adding on something else that wasn't prohibited yet, which, as Rashi points out, includes Issa Kail, Issa Vasachas, as we're going to explain, actually, one of the cases that we're adding on is the Issa Vasachas that takes effect at the same time. Now, so therefore, however, regarding the Mishnah that we brought down from Yisrael's opinion, when she's first his mother-in-law and then she becomes a married woman, so although there's an Issa Maisav over there, because when she becomes married, she's forbidden not only to him as his mother-in-law, but she's forbidden to every single man now because of being a married woman. Even so, it doesn't contradict the halacha that he says that she's going to be nidin b'chamaisai, because that's the more severe one. So therefore, that's going to be the one that anyways, we can only give one death penalty. We're going to give the more severe one, because actually the isser could subsequently take effect, but that's a lesser one. But anyways, going to give the first one. But it still holds uniformity when she's an eshtish and then becomes chamaisai, where, yeah, we're not going to give chamaisai, we're going to give the first one, but not because the first one. He agrees that issachal issa, when issa maisa, issa kail, but there, there's no kail, no maisa. So therefore it's going to be, because nothing adding on by mother-in-law more than eshtish, it was forbidden to everyone already with eshtish. So therefore, that's what we're saying, that's his halacha within that Mishnah. But again, in like the halacha of our Mishnah, we have issa maisa, that he agrees that it would take effect. And v'chein ki'asa rav and amar b'yechin, he says, mod r'bisi v'issa maisa. So now the Gemara asked to clarify. So here in our Mishnah, we were discussing Bas Bita, his granddaughter, and then the father, his father, goes and violates and marries her. So he's saying, oh, even that's going to be also as Eshesav. Says the Gemara, my issa maisa v'kahacha. What type of issa maisa is there over here that is adding on the issa of Eshesav on this woman? What are you adding on? She was already asked to him, and what else is being added on over here to him? Why should that be Issa Maisav to say that, oh, it's also going to be Issa Eshesav? Says the Gemara, the Ikabra Lasava. We're talking about where there was a son for the great-grandfather, meaning this man that we're talking about all along, he had a brother. So Migadi Taisav Yisru L'Gabi Brei, since the Issa is being added on for another person, who, as the Mefarshim explained, was a minor at that time, for the son, which is going to be Aser, now this woman, to him because of his father's wife. So that's an Issa Maisa. It's being added on to another person. So therefore it's being added on as Issa Eshesav, also to this individual, adding on another eighth Karmachatas, according to Bisi, because of Issa Maisa. But you're right, regularly he holds that in Issa Chalas. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the same theme. Habal Chamaisa. Someone has cohabits with his mother-in-law. He could be liable for the fact that she's his mother-in-law. And she could be his daughter-in-law. She could be his brother's wife. And she could also be the wife of his father's brother. And it could be his wife's sister. She could be a married woman. And if she's menstruating, that's going to be seven karmachatas. And v'chein haba al im chamav, the same thing would apply if he has relations with his father-in-law's mother. V'al im chamais, or it's his mother-in-law's mother. You could also have all these yisurim taking effect. Now, additionally, what could be possible with a mother-in-law, Rabbi Yechim Menuriam, he says, Habal Chamaisi, if someone cohabits with his mother-in-law, Chayvaleh Mishim Chamaisi, he could be liable for the fact that she's his mother-in-law, and she could also be Im Chamaisi, that same woman could be also his mother-in-law's mother. Im Chamav, she could also be his father-in-law's mother, meaning, if he married her daughter, and he also married her daughter's daughter, and how is she Im Chamav? Well, if he married her son's daughter. So this woman is all these three things to him. She's his mother-in-law, his mother-in-law's mother, and his father-in-law's mother. So you could have all the Zisurim with this one act of cohabitation with this woman. Which Amar Lo, they said to Rechim and Nuri, no, Shloshen Shem Echadim. All those three things you're describing are all one designation of an Isser, because they're all written in the same pasuk, and therefore they're one negative prohibition, and therefore they say that no, that wouldn't divide up and make separate liabilities of Kamachatas, and it would only be one liability of Bechatas, not to Rechim and Nuri saying. relating to the halacha of our Mishnah, Amr Belazah, Amr Haishi, he says, Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, Bisumchis, Amr Dava Echad, they say the same idea, which is, Rabbi Yechim and Nuri Hodamar, which he said that you could have this one woman who is the mother-in-law, the mother-in-law's mother, she's also his father-in-law's mother, and you can be liable for each one individually, for this one act of cohabitation with this one woman. And Sumchis Mahi, what's the halach of Sumchis? I was saying the same idea. It's not like the Mishnah Masechtas Chulin. Mishnah says, as we continue to talk about Tezvav Men Aleph, if Shchat, if someone slaughters an animal, and then Vez Bas Bita, then he slaughters the daughter's daughter, and the granddaughter of this animal, which he hasn't done anything wrong yet, because you're allowed to slaughter a grandmother animal with its granddaughter animal. But then, V'achach, Shachat Des Bita, then he slaughters the daughter of the first one, which comes out, with that one act of slaughtering of that animal, has violated two Yisurim, because this animal is Oisev Es B'nai, you now slaughter an animal and his daughter on the same day. So by slaughtering that middle animal, it's now Oisev Es B'nai from the first one, because the daughter of the first one. It's also Oisev B'nai of the third one, because now you slaughtered that one, which is the parent of that one, and it's being done on the same day, because the Isser is whether doing the mother first or the daughter first. So it says the Tanakama, Saifik Es Bam. No, you did one act of Isser, so you're going to get only one set of lashes. Some Chesayim and Mishra Mameir, he says, Saifik Shemayim, you're going to get 80 lashes, two sets of lashes, even though it's one shame, one title. Say Rosh in our Mishnah, even though it's one title, as the Chacham who disagreed with Rabbi Yechim and Nuri says, no, it's shame echad, it's one of in-law. Still here, you see, even though it's one shame, he holds that you get two sets of lashes. Here also in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yechim and Nuri says you're going to get three sets of karmen chatas. Therefore, we see they say the same thing. To which Amar Rav says, no, dimalahi, maybe it's not so. Because ad kan lo kamer b'yechem nuri hacha, where do we find that Mishnah b'yechem nuri saying the halacha el mishum shemus mochlakim? Because ultimately they do have separate titles. The mekari yechamayse, because she's on the one hand she's called his mother-in-law. Umekari emchamayse, she's called something else. She's called his mother-in-law's mother. Umekari emchamayse, she's also called his father-in-law's mother. So although the Chacham say it's Shem Echad because it's in one pasuk, but ultimately it's three different titles. So maybe that's why Rabbi Yechim says you get a separate karma chazas. But regarding the case that Sumcha is talking about, when you slaughter that middle animal as the third one, that regarding the Isra of slaughtering a parent and the child in the same day, the Kulu Oisav Es B'noi Mekar, they're all called the same thing of a parent and the child, where the gear says Ve'ein Shem Es Mechulakim, so therefore that's not separate titles, it's the same title. Then like maybe the neighbor wouldn't say that, and he would hold like the Chacham that actually that you only get one set of lashes. And so too in the reverse. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Yisrael Dima Ad Kan Lo Kama Sumchas. Maybe we only find Sumchas over here. El Gabe Oisav Es B'nai. There he says you're going to get two sets of lashes by the case of slaughtering that third animal, the middle one, where you're going to get two sets of lashes because the Gufim Mechlakim, where because they're separate bodies. Meaning this liability is happening because you slaughtered already the first animal and the third animal. Then when you're doing the third one, which is the middle animal, then you're going to be violating two Issa Oisav Es B'nai because you already did with different bodies, the first body, the third body, then the second body. But over here, even though you're right, here essentially it's really the same thing where he first married the daughter, and then the daughter's daughter, and then the son's daughter, and that then made the grandmother forbidden to him for three different Isurim. But still, says the Gemara, we would say De'in Gufa Machalakin. They're not considered due to different bodies to make it to have separate liabilities. Why? Because Eimak Rebavah Am Rabbi Yechon is really. Because the Am Rebavah Am Rabbi Yechon, he says the pasuk says Meyuka, which is this pasuk refers to the mother-in-law, the father-in-law's mother, the mother-in-law's mother. It says in the pasuk Sharehena. These are all close relationships. Zimahi. It is a forbidden act of relations. Now it says in the singular Zimahi to tell you Hakasav Asan Lekul and Zima Achas that the pasuk makes them all one act of Zima, where the liability is not going to be for a woman and her daughter and her daughter's daughter and her son's daughter with one act of cohabitation, like the case of our Mishnah, only one, which that's essentially the case that we're talking about, where it's his mother-in-law, it's his father-in-law's mother, and it's mother-in-law's mother, where that's all the case that the Mishnah, that the Pasuk's talking about, saying it's one thing. So therefore, says the Gemara, it's not obvious the way Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yishai is saying that they both are saying the same thing, where even though it's one shame, that then you're still going to be liable of separate liabilities. We could say that each one wouldn't necessarily hold like the other one, because we could say one is saying, Shemus Mochalakin, but the other one, Eisav Es B'nai, is not. Or we could say that, no, Simcha is saying specifically when there's Gufa Mochalakin, but the case of our Mishnah would not be Gufa Mochalakin, like we see the teaching that's brought from Rav Nachman, from Rav Avraham Rabbi Yechanan, that the Pasuk says it's considered like one act, and therefore again it's not necessarily that they hold of the same halacha in the different contexts.